Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Third Culture Kid virtual online forum, where our conversations of TCK and faith come together. This is a place for people to share their own stories and learn from others. It is a place people could safely explore the effects, benefits, and purpose with cross-cultural upbringings. We also want to challenge TCKs and CCKs to think deeper about how their cross-cultural component of their lives is tied to their faith. This podcast is brought to you by Crew, a caring community passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're going to first start with everyone introducing themselves. So if everyone could say their name, what makes them a third culture kid, and everyone here, well, except for me, is married. So if you want to share about how you met your spouse too, who would like to start?
I will. Awesome. My name is Yvonne Bridgman, mm-hmm. and I am a third culture kid, except I'm an adult, because of my father's profession, which was military, and we were stationed in Japan. I met my husband when we both worked for Sears in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and that was most definitely God working in both of our lives, and we're very thankful that he brought us together.
My name is Caleb. My parents were missionaries in Ecuador, and I grew up there between the ages of about 5 and 13. That's what makes me a third culture kid. Laura, my wife and I, we met our third year in college in Wisconsin. We were both involved in a campus ministry, and we shared a lot of mutual friends. And slowly, the more time we spent together, the more we liked each other and started to single each other out. And the rest is history from there. We've been married about 10 years now and have three kids, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So we have a lot of fun and we drink a lot of coffee.
Those are such cute ages. I love those ages.
My name is Marcia Smith. I've traveled a lot. My father was a diplomat. I was born in San Francisco, and between the age of 0 and 3, I lived in Johannesburg, Buenos Aires, and we were landed in Tahiti, where we actually remained 13 years. So in my formative years, I grew up in what one called a Tahitian atmosphere, which is a combination of French, Chinese, and Polynesian mix. Then when I was 16, I thought I was going back home to China. I was very excited. But when I got there, I found out to my shock that I wasn't accepted because I was kind of weird in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take it very well. So I learned quite a lot of lessons in that particular culture, which was, by the way, extremely different from the one mm-hmm. I spent in Tahiti. 2 years later, I landed at the University of California campus. Thus began my American life. And for the past 60 years exactly, I've lived in the United States, except for some time when we spent overseas. I met Cal, my husband, when I was a sophomore in college. He was a graduate student. We were very good friends. Mm-hmm. He went into the army. We corresponded sometimes, but we remained in touch. In 1966, he came home. We met again, and that's where things began to happen, and we got married 2 years later.
Thank you guys for sharing. And I'm Elizabeth, and what makes me a third culture kid is I lived in the Philippines from ages 2 to 11, and my parents were missionaries there. And I'm not married, so I don't have a cool story to share about that. But, okay, so now we'll move into the questions. So the first question is, what are some differences in culture that you navigated with your spouse in parenting, and how did you approach them?
Yeah, it's maybe a bit of an exaggeration for me to make a point, but one of the cultural differences that Laura and I have had to navigate is that I tend to value high mobility While Laura tends to value settling in, or maybe if I could say that another way, we found that whereas I really enjoy traveling and moving about every 2 to 3 years, Laura is really looking to stay in one place and find stability. And this difference, to be honest, is especially coming out now as we've started to have a lot more conversations about school. So I moved schools and even countries growing up, but Laura didn't. So some of the questions we've been wrestling through is, okay, how much do we want our kids to go to school in the same area? If we want them to graduate from the same district, what does that mean for settling into jobs and a community in one place? And for me, honestly, personally, what does it even mean to settle into a place is a real question. What does it mean to be from one place geographically? Because that was not as big of a part of my experience and culture growing up as it was for Laura. So I think navigating this difference together has led to some new understanding of each other's stories and values, but has also led to maybe some intentional conversations for us about what experiences and values we want to pass on to our kids, what we want their experience to be like growing up.
I think for me, my upbringing was military. And that was, especially overseas, that was very strict rules. You could not go grocery shopping, anybody, females, unless you had a dress on. You couldn't go to the movie theater. For some reason, without wearing a dress, if for some reason you got in trouble at school, your father also got in trouble. And so there was a great deal of emphasis placed on following the rules. I tended to be that way with my children. My husband is Black, and so that's a whole different atmosphere growing up from a white family. And so we had several different things that we had to work on. And to add all this, we both were divorced and had children from previous marriages. So we had to navigate the differences that we had growing up with the differences that our previous spouses had with us, which sometimes there were some minefields in there. And very thankful that we both knew the Lord and we were able to talk to people, read books, read our Bibles, pray together to be able to get through some of those minefields.
Yeah, that definitely is important, I'm sure. Having faith in the times of difficulty.
Absolutely.
So my husband in construction management for heavy construction industry. So things like nuclear power plant, aluminum plant, yellow cake plant, you name it, plant. I left graduate school. I dropped out of the PhD program and I followed him. The job took us to a lot of places in the United States, mostly small towns, such as Owensboro, Kentucky, Sykeston, Missouri, St. Mary's, Georgia, Sinclair, Wyoming. But we also were in big cities like Cincinnati. We were in Boston. I suppose San Marino would be considered big city, was a suburb of LA. We also were posted overseas. We spent 3 years in the desert of Iran, in Khuzestan, Ahvaz, and where the temperature averaged at 117 degrees Fahrenheit during the summer. And then in Tehran, we were there for a few months during the revolution of 1978. And the revolution ousted the Shah and replaced by the Islamic Republic of Iran. We also lived in Australia for for 3 years in a place called Bunbury in Western Australia. And also we spent some time in Genoa in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way we raise our children. And the thing that was important to Cal and I is, of course, our Christian faith. I was actually a pretty young Christian. I didn't accept the Lord until I was 3 years before we married. And that was one of the things that made things really easy for moving from place to place. Awesome. Every one of our children went to 14 schools, at least before they entered the university.
That's crazy. I did not have to move that much as a TCK. I only had two major moves when I was before age of 18. So I can't imagine how crazy that is, though.
People always tell me that they think that it was a recipe for disaster, you know, educationally and socially, where the kids have an unstable life, cannot have the same friends all the time and so forth. Yeah. But I think they're totally wrong.
Yeah, I think they're wrong too. I think that there's advantages and disadvantages to both, but I think there's definitely a lot of advantages to being able to be so cross-culturally aware of things. Okay, so we can move on to the next question. Okay, TCKs grow up with a lot of hidden losses every time we move. So it can be a bit challenging to maintain a close relationship when you are reminded that the other person will leave someday. How did you strive to maintain a close relationship with your kids when you know that they will grow up and leave the house eventually?
With my girls, it's been a lot easier because of technology. Emails at first, and then text messaging, and then being able to talk to anyone from any place really is how I worked that. And it was very important to me because of some of the friends that I lost because, and not lost in a negative sense, but just because we all moved every which way. And so just staying in touch has become very, very important. And a lot through social media and that kind of thing.
I think for me and Laura, this is maybe a little bit more of a present tense answer with the age of our kids. But I think that a big value that influences a lot of our decisions and most of our decisions might be that deep relationships are a big deal to us. Now, we're not perfect. We're not always good at this necessarily. And honestly, we miss out on a lot of things that we probably could be doing, but some of the things that we're trying to practice and working on is trying to carve out and create intentional time to be together and be with the kids. So we're looking to leverage and capture little moments, like even simple things like a walk or a drive or a snack, and even do a big deal job of recognizing milestones like birthdays and holidays that come up throughout the calendar year. So we escape together, we travel together, we go on adventures together as a family and one-on-one with each of the kids. This past summer, for example, we took several trips up to the Lake Superior shoreline in Minnesota and along the St. Croix River Valley, but on the border between Minnesota and Wisconsin. And man, we had a total blast and just made a lot of memories. So it's not maybe original to us. It's not unique to us as a family, but there's a mindset and a framework for us that home is where we are together. And we really try to seek to be together like that as much as we can with the little kids, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good way to live.
Well, I find that moving around constantly like we did was very important for creating a very close relationship within the family. Our family is extremely close.
Yeah,
we tell the kids that home is where the family is and also where the church is, because as we land any place, the very first thing that we do is to find a home church, and we don't shop around extensively. We settle in fairly fast and that way then we join a community. And also personally, I tell you, we get help in raising the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a Christian faith. Mm-hmm. Now, because friendships are made during our stay anywhere, where the children make some friends with the neighbors and at church and also at school. Mm-hmm. But they also leave them within a very short period of time. We have encouraged the children to pray together well and so forth, and they have become each other's best friend. Mm-hmm. So every time we move, they move their best friend along with them. Our girls are now 40. Two of them are in their 40s and two of them in their 50s. Mm-hmm. And they're very close. Three of them actually managed to get together, and they live within two blocks,
two, three blocks of each other.
It's really very nice. Yeah, in raising our children, we gave them a Christian education, a Christian-centered life, each location we came to, and we became part of a church community. Yeah. We decided to make sure that we raise them with God as the center of life, their life. Yeah. But we wanted them to also grow up to be very independent and responsible citizens.
Yeah.
This is where I would say that disagreements sometimes pop up between Cal and I, because I'm generally very timid, and I wanted to always, it's always too dangerous for the kids to do this and the other. It's a good thing that Cal's got a strong character. Otherwise, I would have raised some pretty timid kids. But as it turned out, the kids are very well adjusted. So But this is the only place where, you know, I would always say, oh, 9 years old, already sending them to camp by themselves. Oh, that's terrible. And Cal said, no, I've done that. It's okay.
Yeah, raising kids in the church and getting involved in church is definitely very important. Whenever I make a move, that's the first thing I try to do is find a church to get involved in.
If I could jump in there, I appreciate you bringing that up, Marcia, as well, because I just want to say that Laura and I, we relate to that. One of the ways that we're trying to maintain that close connection ourselves is establishing and maintaining that connection to a faith community together as a family. Yeah. That's been a big value, and we're hoping that keeps us close relationally together as well.
It's really not possible to raise children in the Christian faith without the help of the church, simply because we're just not perfect.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. I relate really well when you're talking about how your kids are like their best friends. Like, my siblings are my best friends. And I think that's a good way to have it, because, you know, your siblings are going to be around for most of your life if you have a pretty good connection with them. The question is, how has your faith shaped and challenged your understanding of being a parent when everyone in your family not only has different personalities and giftings, but also may or may not be the same ethnically or culturally?
Well, my family is very culturally diverse. My husband is Black. My daughters are white. My stepchildren are Black. My one daughter is married to a Black man, so my grandchildren are racially mixed. My stepdaughter, my husband's daughter, is married to a white man. So we're just really diverse. Cool. And I think that's a good thing. Everybody's like, oh, this is going to be hard, your kids. But I think because of the church, and most churches are very accepting, I think because of being Christians and going to church and raising our kids that way, it's okay. They're okay. They're okay. Mm-hmm. My grandsons that we live with, my daughter's white, her husband's Black, these boys are the most confident children I have ever seen in my life. And I think that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen those kids. Yeah. Our family is racially mixed, too. My husband is Scotch-Irish and I'm Chinese. There are some things that you have to do, especially back in the 60s when we were first married. People didn't look at it very kindly. My family was pretty upset. Kel's family was okay, but my family was pretty upset. In principle, we operated on the basis that if someone thinks our marriage and our children are strange or worse, then we figure that it is their problem, not ours. Mm-hmm. We think that our situation is perfectly fine. You know, they don't like it. Well, that's too bad, sort of. No.
That was our thing, too.
And it's amazing how well the children actually adapted. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have had very much trouble.
Yeah, wow. That's an amazing attitude to have. It's just like, I'm just going to do what I know is right and best for my family. That's a great example, I think, to live by. And I think it's also a great example, too, of just like the kingdom of God coming together, because, you know, we're all like one body. It doesn't matter what race, ethnicity we are, we're all one body. So it's cool to like see that you guys really embrace that and show that as an example in even your own personal families. I think that's really encouraging to me.
Yeah.
Being a Christian kind of helps us navigate around those differences, because if you are in Christ, even if you have been raised in different churches that have different practices, that can be something that needs to be overcome as well. But if you are in Christ, I believe that those things can be overcome, mm-hmm. as long as you put him first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One way I think for me is the realization that, you know, someday my kids will grow up and leave. I think this challenges me to trust in God's goodness, but also his sovereignty. Sure, I will always be their dad, but they have a heavenly father who has a plan for them in their life. And I have not been told what that plan is. God definitely gave them personality. He gave them giftings to use for his glory. And I have to trust God with my kids. And that's been a challenge at different points, even right now when they're really young. But I also have to realize that I won't always be there. Thinking about grace has been huge for me in this parenting mm-hmm. piece, especially mm-hmm. as it relates to different personalities and giftings mm-hmm. with my young kids. They have different needs at different times. So what's it look like to extend grace to them? There's grace to learn and grow mm-hmm. and do things differently and think differently and make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think reflecting on how my faith is challenged, mm-hmm. parenting is probably in how I extend grace. It shaped my understanding of grace. Mm. Marcia, you made me think of that when you were sharing as well. So I just wanted to share that
with
the group.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that you need to think about along those lines is that each child is a unique experiment. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell one child, stop hitting your sister. And the other one, hit her back. You're bigger than she is. I mean, yes. I've caught myself doing things like this because they're so different. And it just, you know, one is timid, the other one is just aggressive. And it's also not okay. I think we just do the best. We need to pray a lot when we raise those children, you know? I'm very much like Yvonne. The other thing that we made sure that the children would be happy is we realize that parents have an incredible influence on the children's state of mind. Mm-hmm. If the parents are positive, the children are going positive. Mm-hmm. If they're negative, the children are going to be negative.
Yeah.
Parents that are happy, the children are going to be happy. If they love each other, the children are going to be at peace. Mm-hmm. Now, we saw just how hard, we saw example of this when we were in Ahvaz in Iran. Remember that the condition was very harsh. Mm-hmm. We were in a desert. It was very hot. Not a blade of grass anywhere. no movie theaters, no Disneyland, nothing of the sort. There were families who were adjusted very well, and the parents were very curious about the country, did a lot of looking around, were very inquisitive about the new culture, and the children were pretty happy. But the ones who complained all the time, the children were very unhappy and sometimes really difficult to take because they would have tantrums. I think it is something that people need to understand, that their attitude in life is seen by their children, and the children process it and they act accordingly. This advice is not for just cross-cultural children. It is for every family.
Yeah.
And it is, after all, what God wants us to do. If we understand that wherever we are, God wants us there, then we need to respect that and accept the situation and be happy about it and be thankful.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, positivity can really change a kid's perspective. Like my sister, she takes care of little children, and she was telling me, she's like, yeah, there's this one girl that's like always saying positive comments. And I was like, is her parents positive? And she's like, her parents are the most positive people I know. So it definitely can make a difference. So it's great that you set that positivity. Thank you guys so much for coming on. The TCK VOF is now on 10 podcast platforms. And if you want to stay connected to us and ask us a question or have a topic idea you would like us to discuss in the future, you can click on the message button on Anchor to leave us a voice message. Thank you again for listening to the TCK VOF, where our conversations of TCK and faith come together. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week.